Profound. Okay, so this one, and ladies and gentlemen, just fasten your seatbelts because this one is unbelievable. Okay, here we go. If God is Trinity and Jesus is the face of God, then it is a benevolent universe. God is not someone to be afraid of, but is the ground of being and is on our side. Come on. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to read that once more just because if you're not hearing Beethoven in the background, I don't know what's happening. If God is Trinity and Jesus is the face of God, then it is a benevolent universe.
You know, I'm really prepared. I just finished my book on the Trinity.
What's it called?
The Divine Dance.
Oh, Perichoresis. Perichoresis,
of course. Yeah, yeah. And William Paul Young, the author of The Shack, is going to write the foreword to it. And, of course, you know, he's done more to bring the Trinity home to our world than anybody else. So I'm so honored. We're going to do a major conference this very weekend next year on Trinity. So let me start with that.
Okay, I'll start with that because I think for many people.
I can't overstate this. I really mean it. I think the normal Christian, it's going to sound shocking. I'm not trying to be shocking. The normal Christian image of God is still pagan.
Yeah.
It's still Zeus, Deus.
Yep.
This man with a white beard sitting on a throne who is now Jesus, which completely, he's the judge of history. So, you know, understand, this is non-Trinitarian theology.
Correct.
Karl Rahner, the German Jesuit who is such an expert at our Second Vatican Council, he said, we could drop the doctrine of the Trinity tomorrow, and 98% of Christian practice and devotion would remain untouched and unchanged. And none of us, I don't know any except Unitarians, I don't know any Christian denomination that denies the Trinity. Even though, you know, the word is not in the Bible. It took us 3 centuries to process that. And then we came up with perichoresis, the God is a circle dance.
Choresis from the word, where we get the word choreography.
Choreography.
Peri meaning around. So to dance around.
Yeah.
So the divine is a community of love in which the members, the persons of the divine move and encircle each other in loving, giving generosity and service.
Yeah.
And so the reason, if I can jump in here.
Please.
For many people, I think when you talk about like a pagan understanding is a very static being.
Is a monarch on a throne.
Somebody somewhere on a cloud who gets involved every once in a while.
That's what I said last
and
night.
By the way, the Holocaust would have been nice. Mm-hmm. As opposed to a community of endless giving, serving, love, a dance or a flow that you enter into.
That's the word I use a lot.
So there is a difference between do you believe or not versus would you like to enter into a flow?
There you go. My God, we're from the same mother. That's just what I said last night. And how it excites people. And it's the essence of orthodoxy. I mean, this is not, well, I told him, I said, if I use the word circle dance, you would think I was some New Ager from California. Forgive me. And this was used by, you know, not the Desert Fathers, but the early fathers.
Church Fathers, right. This was as orthodox, mainstream, central to the Jesus tradition was, there is a divine dance. I think about all of my friends who have no religious background, and yet when you ask them about their greatest moments of joy, peace, connection, harmony in life, generally articulate some form of, I felt like I was in the midst of something bigger than myself, like I was caught up in something, like there was a movement that I could join or not join. Generosity is joining it. Stinginess and greed is not joining it. I also love, I sometimes think when Jesus endlessly, the John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life, gets misquoted, I think what Jesus is saying is, I actually think the best way to read it is, I'm showing you what the dance looks like.
Oh, very good. Yes, this is the big pattern.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean belonging to the right tribe, which is how we interpret it.
Right.
Exactly.
When you move from the center to stand in solidarity with those on the edges, you're entering into the dance.
Yes.
When you are honest about all the darkness within you, let the light shine in there and you do your own interior work, you are entering into the dance.
Yes, yes.
When you see that you are here to give yourself to that which is larger than yourself,
yeah.
you are entering into the dance.
Any lending, I gave a whole bunch of examples last night, but, you know, a research scholar who's giving years of his life because he cares about a certain disease, that's
yes,
the flow.
Absolutely.
That's the flow. And he doesn't even need to be necessarily, I'd love it if he could say Jesus is Lord, but he's showing the lordship of Jesus by his caring for the body of Christ without using that vocabulary.
Right.
The vocabulary is not the important thing. It's the energy. It's the flow.
And the, participation,
yeah.
the flesh
yeah.
and blood
yeah.
participation. Now, we were talking about this one time. Good Lord, I'm enjoying this. We were talking about this one time, and you were talking about how Jesus is not God.
Yes, that shocks
that
people.
For so many people, well, you believe Jesus is God. Somehow that becomes central to being whatever. But that is not actually true to the Christian tradition.
Yeah, this sounds shocking. Now, don't run away. I actually do believe in
the
divinity of
Christ. Oh, good Lord, people who listen to this podcast, we've been in this business for a while.
Okay, yeah,
unshockable.
That's true. When we jump too quickly to proclaim Jesus as God, we miss the real revelation that he came forth from God to take on humanity, which means Jesus, the Christ, is God, if I want to be technical, all right? But Jesus is a third something, which is the coherence, the putting together of total God and total man. That's unique. Now, the reason I would hold on to the divinity of Christ as essential, because if we can't put it together in him, we can't put it together in ourselves.
In ourselves.
Yeah. It's the same complexus. It's the same coming together. So I believe this is why the tradition rightly insisted Jesus is God. But here's the trouble. We made him into an exclusive savior instead of an inclusive savior. That he is the archetype, the corporate personality, what Paul calls the pledge, the guarantee, the promise, and we're the adopted sons and daughters. But see, adoptionism, which was a word used by Paul, also the word inheritance theology, that it took off for a while in the first centuries. But then the justification by faith thing took over, and it all became a contest, you know,
yeah.
of who's justified in the right way. And I really agree with N.T. Wright that what we've, another dualistic argument between faith and good works, is a bogus
yes.
interpretation of Paul. That's not Paul's great idea. Paul's great idea is that the new temple is the human person. The new temple is the human person. You know?
Right.
And that, now, you just go back. I've told that to groups, and I say, you go back and read Paul, and you'll see it's everywhere.
Yes.
But no one told you to pay attention to that, you see.
Right. And also, and those of you who are listening, who are like, this all sounds very technical and complicated, or what's the problem? Here's why it's so huge, is the story
huge.
Is about what's possible for you and I right now.
That's right.
So when Jesus says things like, you can do greater things than these, the reason why the divine and the human in the same place in Christ is such a big idea is not so that we can argue about things 2,000 years ago, but so that you can wake up to that which is possible for us as human beings right now.
Excellent. Yeah, we think the same. Well, let me say one other thing on that one quote, the benevolent universe. I love that phrase
yes.
when it first came to mind.
When you wrote these, were you like, I am on fire today?
They did come quickly, yeah. But that was, what, 6-7 years ago. You know, I said last night, if the gospel is not somehow proclaiming a cosmic hope for history, for society,
yeah.
for the planet, what we're finding, and I know you'd experience, it's very hard to heal individual people when the whole thing is going to hell in a handbasket.
Right, right.
When the late great Planet Earth is the great Christian selling book, which ends history with, you know, with Armageddon and Apocalypse
it's
Now.
It's tragic, bloody, brutal,
yeah.
right.
We've missed, I mean this, we've missed the message of Easter. We've missed the message of the resurrection. That if Jesus is the final chapter of history revealed to humanity to give it hope, that's what we're singing about this time of year. we actually didn't believe that. It all became a weighing and measuring of who's worthy and who isn't worthy, who's in and who's out. So it isn't a benevolent universe for most Christians. It's a scary universe. God is not Trinity. God is a threatening deity who's making a list, checking it twice,
right,
going to find out who's naughty or nice. When I said that to the crowd last night, the whole church just nodded heads.
Yeah.
I said, do you realize the Christian revolution hasn't taken place yet? You know, we still have a pagan notion of God throwing down thunderbolts from a throne.
Right.
But not this infinite flow of infinite love between three persons into whom we are taken. I mean, the early, it wasn't the Desert Fathers, it was shortly after, writers will go so far as to say that creation and we are the fourth person of the Blessed Trinity. God has come forth in Jesus to take us back with him. Where I am going, you also must go. They believe that, huh? And we were taken into that flow, as all of creation is. But if there isn't a historical, social, corporate understanding of salvation.
Right, the whole thing being put back together.
I think this is our massive disillusionment with Christianity.
Yeah.
We're trying to tell individual people to be hopeful while we're damning everything in sight as going to hell. You know, doesn't work. You live in constant insecurity, constant fear of this threatening God.
Right. And so then the good news apparently is how you as an individual can get saved from all of your awfulness.
All individualism.
Which is totally different from, hey, yeah, the whole thing
That's right.
Is being healed. Would you like to be a part of that?
There you go.
Come on.
The gospel.
And so, yeah, so then you are invited into a thing that's happening in the whole thing.
You got it. Yeah.
That's
hope for the world.
Yeah, now you can sing about that.
I really think the reason we are creating so many mentally ill people today, and we all know it's true,
mm-hmm,
the high amount of people who simply aren't emotionally, mentally healthy. When you live in kind of this desperate, unsafe, non-benevolent universe, where even God isn't on your side, healing is rare. And I say this after giving retreats worldwide for 46 years, you know, where people would be all turned on by this wonderful retreat, and then you'd come back even a few months later, and you realize most of it didn't take because they fell right back into American consumerism, American success agenda, American whatever. And because, you know, was it Peter Drucker who said in his book on management, I don't know that I'll have the quote perfectly said, but culture eats ideology for lunch. I don't know if you've
heard. Oh, I haven't heard that.
Yeah.
That's
true. Culture always wins.
Yeah.
And when you present the gospel not as a transformative life message, but as an ideology of belief, culture wins every time. I go to Switzerland and God looks like a banker. I go to Germany, God looks like a policeman. I go to America, God looks like a businessman. That's maybe a little of a caricature,
no,
but it's not far from the truth. It really isn't.
Yeah. This helps me understand because I'm doing this tour now and spend a whole day in a different city interacting with mm-hmm. people over the past few months. And what strikes me is how many people respond to what I'm saying and writing and talk about on these podcasts. But their questions often are, I'm totally alive. This is yes. But I have to go live in a dominant world, business, family, extended family, neighborhood that is in such despair and such brokenness. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. Well, look, good. That's enough comment on two, though.
Well,
jump ahead to three. We could talk on it forever.
Okay.